It's time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chow.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char-broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grillin' Guys.
Welcome. You're listening to the Grillin' Guys, and we appreciate you tuning in each and every week, wherever you are. Hopefully you're dry or listening to a podcast while you're in a tree trying to hunt a big buck. But I'm Jop, and he's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
Hey, thanks, Jop, and welcome to the show. Thanks for taking a little time out of your weekend to listen to the smokiest show on the airwaves and podcast, as Jop mentioned. A lot of people podcasting the show. You can go to thegrillingguys.com. Look at the top right corner and look for the headset. Click on it. We'll send you the show for free.
Yeah.
It should be worth $1.380.
Right, right. But we won't charge because we just like you to listen to us. You know, it's an ego thing, right?
That's right.
Not so much. But
no, it is, really.
Yeah. This week, Bob had guests in from out of town. My new stepson and his girlfriend were in for about 10 days. And so there was a lot of cooking for four when they were around. There were some real challenges there because at noon you think you're going to be cooking for four, and at 5:30 when you get home, there's only two of you. And so you
Then you have lunch for tomorrow.
Well, that's it. But couple that with my bride, who's trying to lose some weight, so she's on a pretty restrictive diet right now. And Jop wasn't cooking what he thought he was cooking pretty much any day. But you're right. You can live with the leftovers and make it happen. But this portion control thing is very interesting because it's 4 ounces of vegetables, 4 ounces of protein, and then she can have some fiber, right? Which is
straw.
Right, yeah. But cooking that light is not generally my style.
Mm-hmm.
And try to go to Sobeys and buy 4 ounces of meat of anything. And so you buy something for her and I, and either you get a little big so I get a full portion, or I'm on the diet as well.
Yeah, one big steak and just cut a little piece off.
Right, right, for her.
That's what we do anyway.
But I'm typically the guy that wants the one big steak. I don't want to cut any off, right?
Oh, sound a little greedy.
Right. No, not greedy. That's just honest, man. I like steak. We did have it the last night that they were there, and so then it turned the other way. I went over to Sobeys and bought four really nice ribeyes, right? And I know that we're going to have some left over. Well, I get there, and there's two more of those horses there that are his buddies that want to see him, you know, the last night he's going
to
be
here. So you sent him to the store and told him to take care of it?
Right. Yeah, you know how I roll. No, I just went and did it and put a couple extra steaks on the grill, made some room, and we had a lot of fun. But I will tell you that the new one that I've got out of this is I grilled sweet potatoes three times for him because that's one of those fiber vegetables
right.
that everybody likes.
Right.
And cut them real thin and rolled them in some Old World EVO garlic, usually, and then hit them with some sea salt, and then just rolled them in a grilling basket.
A little allspice and cayenne sometimes is good.
Yep. And so it was good. But
The grilling basket's a smart idea for sweet potatoes.
Right.
Because they want to stick to the grate.
Right. Exactly.
So if you have something that'll allow you to flip it, it's great.
Yeah, and that's what it was. And with a little oil on there, they didn't stick too bad, and they crisp up a little bit.
Yep.
So I was I'm like, huh, I don't usually make sweet potatoes, but it was a request, so I did it.
They're good when they're not smothered with brown sugar.
Yeah, exactly. that's exactly right. I mean, the little bit of the garlic EVO just gave them enough flavor, and that salt was good. So enjoyed that. But anyway, that was my grilling extent for the last week. There was a lot of it, but it was very spot on, spot off for me. And you know me, I'm a kind of a planner.
Yep.
And I decided, don't let that frustrate me. You know what? Just roll with it, cook what you got, and if there's leftovers, somebody will eat them or they won't. You know, you can always freeze them and use them in other things. Chicken, did a lot of chicken, beef, you know, pork. So cut it up, you know, use it up.
Absolutely. Have been working again on the motor coach, and I got it back.
Tell me it's not brakes.
I got it back from the shop out in Coopersville. I think it's called Exit 16. I'm sorry, Ryan, I forgot the name of your shop, but this place is right by all the car dealers there along the freeway in Coopersville on O'Reilly, or O'Malley is the name of the road. And this thing brakes like a brand new truck, man. It's a 32-foot coach. And it's got a 454 and I don't know, 13,000 pounds or something.
Right.
But she stops on a dime.
Right.
So the bonehead that did it before, we fixed all his mistakes, and he'll be seeing the bill. But it's fantastic. I took it to work. I'm storing it in our lot there. I got to do a bunch of cleanup, emptied the holding tanks. Thank you very much.
Oh, that's a crappy job.
Well, it's pretty easy. We're all set up there at Camping World. If you're a member of the Good Sam Club, or if you're a customer, in other words, you can roll in anytime and use our fill and dump stations.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, you can plug in if you don't get a campsite. We have plug-ins there, so you're stuck on the road at 9 o'clock at night and you have a site. You can just roll up, plug in, plop down. There's motorhomes and coaches there every night.
Really?
Yeah.
Kind of cool.
Yeah.
Yep. So did you get the levelers, the big feet things working too? Yep.
Yes.
Because that was hydraulics more than anything, wasn't it?
Yep. Yeah. Well, it was just switches, really.
I see.
So I'm good to go, and got to put a coat of wax on it, took it into one of our – we have all these big service bays, so I took it inside, and I got – thanks to Hank, I got the generator, the converter was a little screwed up. It wasn't charging the home battery because it has one for storage. So I'm good to go, and next Wednesday and Thursday I'll be going up to Whipple, and I'm just going to take my Jeep up and stay in the Trotwood, but I'll take my chainsaw.
Hunt the first time before you get into Trotwood so you don't smell like fuel oil the whole time you're there. I'm thinking that doesn't help your hunting much.
I'm taking the chainsaw and my pruning, I've got one of these long poles with the blade, pruning saw, and I'm going to widen that driveway so I can get that beast down it.
Oh, really?
Without
so you're going to be knocking
it.
Trees down, not just
I should be able to just trim branches, and I think I'll be okay. But I'm taking a tape measure.
Yeah. So that'll be nice. And then you got a nice level spot back in there that you can park the thing.
Perfect.
Sure. Yeah.
And I'm kind of thinking I'm just going to park out by the road so I don't go into the property much, because I'll be running a generator at night. And it's very quiet. It's got an onboard Onan.
Well, how is it that you have to run a generator at night in the motorhome when you could always sleep in a tent and have no generator and just be fine?
Well, it's
are you getting soft?
I'm getting old. It's really cold out at night now.
Yeah. It seems like my sleeping bag froze to my cot one night when I was up there, but that's just a whole other story.
We were 10 years younger.
Yeah, it's just a whole other story.
Well, that's because you had to bring a hammock.
Right. It was cold that night. I remember it quite well.
Well, as I recall, you did bring the proper traveling bar, though, and there was a bottle of tequila and a bottle of bourbon in it.
So there was.
At least our ice lasted.
I didn't say it was painful that I froze. I just said I remember it freezing to the
I'm going up Wednesday and Thursday, and I'll be going out to Chase Creek Smokehouse to get dinner the first night. So it'll be good to see Pat and Linda and all the gang out there.
And if you've not been there, US 10 in 131, south of Cadillac, north of Big Rapids, and then you go west on US 10 about 4 or 5 miles down to the little burg of Chase, Michigan. Hang a left off US 10, and you're right there. You can't miss the place, but you got to go.
It's huge.
Fantastic. Yep. He's got a great smokehouse, unbelievable food.
Huge bar.
Outdoor fire pits. I mean, this place is really cool.
Yeah. And matter of fact, you'll get a chance to see it in February. We're putting together, we're cooking up a chili cook-off.
Right.
And, of course, Pat and Linda will be in Florida, I believe, at that time, but they're going to fly home for it. But
nice.
It'll be a grilling, guys. We got to figure out some of the details on this so it comes together properly. But if nothing else, we'll have a nice big fire outside and all kinds of chili and some good...
6 foot apart, make your pot of chili, bring it on, and then we'll just... We'll get the rest of it taken care of.
That's right.
Yeah, that should be fun.
So I finally got all my hunting gear out. I haven't even flung an arrow yet.
Well, that's you got 3-4 days before you need to be accurate. So
I'll get with it. I'll get my practice cube out tonight and fling a few and get to. I'm going to take Babe's advice and just not fling as many, but just try and fling the perfect shot. That was really good advice.
Sure. Sure. And, you know, there's a lot of factors. If you're sitting on the ground, it's a lot easier than in a tree, right?
Yeah.
We both know that. So if you've got a stable seat and you can hold yourself still, you can usually make a pretty accurate shot. But a lot of that is a variable in a windy tree.
Right.
You know?
Right. And so, I'm always in a tree. And I shoot a compound bow, so it's a little trickier.
All right. Coming up next, we're going to talk a little bit about that deer hunting, and maybe if you get some fresh venison, how you might want to cook it. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Fenn Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fennville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine, Fenn Valley Vineyards.
Hey, it's Barbecue Bob. My wife and I recently built a new addition to our home and remade the kitchen. We went to Garrett's and picked out all of our products so that everything would fit in his space well. The selection was from best price to best quality, and the service was great. The delivery team was courteous and careful. Go to Garrett's Appliance, and while you're there, check out the huge selection of top brands of grills and smokers from North America. Garrett's Appliance, where families serve families. Garrett'sAppliance.com.
Hi, this is Shasta with Old World Olive Company. I want to personally invite you to visit one of our tasting rooms and sample any one of our certified extra virgin olive oils or aged balsamic vinegars. My knowledgeable staff can show you hundreds of pairing combinations. We also offer seasonings, tapenades, and specialty wines to complete your meal. So please, step into my kitchen and make a lasting memory of your own. Or you can visit us at theoldworldoliveco.com.
Hey guys, Schmoes now has two locations, 2600 Patterson here in Grand Rapids and 109 West Mitchell in Petoskey now. So when you're up north, you can grab some Schmoes as well. Remember, you can get all your favorites, Bone Crusher, Hop Knocker, Treasure Chest, Amber Tees, Michigan Hands Pale Ale, and India Pale Ale, or one of our great root beers. Once again, that's Grand Rapids and Petoskey, engineering better Michigan beer.
I am a guy, and I like fire.
The Grillin' Guys.
Welcome back. You are listening to The Grillin' Guys. We're glad you're here today. And Barbecue Bob, we were just talking a little bit about bow hunting. It's a passion of both yours and mine. And if you're listening to this show on Saturday, some of you get it on Sunday, but Saturday afternoon I'm headed to Shartucky with my buddy who is so graciously allows me to hunt on his land. And he's got an 80-acre piece where on three sides of it are farm fields, and on the fourth side there's a swamp, and his is all managed for hunting. And he doesn't do anything with the land. There's 1,000 pine trees on it. And
can you shoot a doe?
Hard way. What? He won't. No. He won't shoot a doe. That's just his rule. He's eights or bigger. His infamous line to me is, I've never been out and seen too many deer. Right? He enjoys seeing deer. So his rules, his place, yep. Whether you agree with it or not, that's what I do when I get there. So it's more about just hanging with your buddies, man. I mean, this is the time of year. There's a whole set of guys that I only see this time of year. And if you've got a similar situation, take advantage of it, man.
Yeah. So will you spend the night?
What? No, because it's a 45-minute drive from my house. So shoot back after dark and hopefully we'll grab one while we're down there. He's already shot three off the farm with he's real good about taking youth with him. So they did real good youth weekend. He had two others, and then they've got another one since then. So, but looking forward to it, man. Looking forward. No shortage of deer down there. But so if you get one, let's talk about some different ways to cook it. What are you thinking?
Yeah. Well, I think we talked about it maybe last weekend with Sobe, but a great way to cook some fresh venison. Of course, if you're out in the woods in a cabin or a tent or a campfire, trailer, motorhome, whatever you're in, it might be crappy outside and you might have to cook it inside.
Right.
You know, you just can't always cook outside in this time of year because there's a lot of rain for one thing.
Right.
So, you know, if you're going to have to cook it inside, like on a skillet, bring a nice big cast iron skillet and take a little garlicky VO from Old World and some onions and just flash that really quick and put your favorite seasoning on it and just bring it to medium rare. And it's just so good. But
right.
You got to use a good EVO. And I like some aromatics. I am a thyme lover. You're not.
Mm-hmm.
But I love a little bit of thyme on it or Italian blend you can use. But
a lot of garlic. Everybody uses garlic.
The garlic
yeah.
EVO really does a nice job.
Right.
Yeah.
And that skillet, I'm going to say you want to get it hot, and so you sear it.
Yeah.
Because you want to cook it relatively quick, and as Bob said, don't go past medium rare because it'll dry out like crazy. Some guys will cook bacon on the outside of that. Doesn't work really good in a skillet because you got to roll it and it falls off before it sears up. But I use bacon more in an oven type setting than I do. So
or a smoker.
Or a smoker, exactly. The only true fat you've got on a backstrap then is that EVO that you put on there. So be liberal with it.
The other thing is when you're heating that cast up, you're using EVO, so it's got a lower flash point. It's going to smoke a lot. So don't put your oil in until you're just going to put the meat in.
Yeah, great advice.
Heat that thing up because you'll have a real smoky little cabin.
Yeah,
it really does.
Yep,
exactly. Another nice thing, of course, we talked about the spit a couple weeks ago, but that's a great time if you want to throw like a hunk of roast, venison roast on, some neck meat or whatever, and just put it on a spit and keep basting it. And just
I think that's the key, keep basting
it. Yes, and that's a good one to wrap with bacon.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to put it on a spit, get some, Sobe has some really nice thick homemade bacon.
Right.
Wrap those thick pieces around it and put it like next to the fire so it's not right over the flame and just let it go a couple of hours. Bring your thermopen with you. And if you don't have a thermopen, go to thegrillingguys.com. Look on the right side. You'll see ThermoWorks, and they are the makers of thermopen. They're out of Utah. It's a three-second read. They're about $79, and they are fantastic. I use
durable.
One.
Durable. Last you the rest of your lifetime.
Yeah, I've got three of them.
Waterproof. The new MX version, you can turn it, you know, 360 degrees, and the screen follows you.
And so, lights up.
And lights up.
Because you're always in the dark.
Right.
When you're doing
yeah, exactly.
I've been in the dark all my life.
Right.
And, of course, wouldn't be the grilling guys if we didn't say to do it in a Dutch oven.
Right. And I love me some Dutch oven. You know, I had a lot of fun for years and years with Bob because I didn't have a Dutch oven, and he had a dozen of them, and he wanted to cook everything in it. Well, he bought me one last year for Christmas. Bless his heart. Good guy. And I started cooking with it. And
it's a miracle machine.
It is, because everything cooks so damn evenly in it. That's,
you know,
people
have these little ninja cookers and all this stuff. They're little miracle machines, too, the air fryers
right,
and whatnot.
Yeah, yeah.
A Dutch oven is somewhat the similar principle.
Right.
And if you're cooking with charcoal or hot coals from a fire, it's fantastic because you can just take your shovel out, throw a few in a little pit, put a few on top, and let it go.
Right.
And you don't have to mess with it. And you just have to practice at it.
Yeah.
You know,
so,
you're not always going to be great. You might overcook it a few times. You might undercook it. You might have to drink a couple more beers while you wait for it.
Right. Yeah,
that's terrible.
Right. So speaking of that, as I used it and as I continue to learn, you
the
know,
beer?
You, yeah, that.
Oh.
The Dutch oven, you forgot more than I'll probably ever know about it. But what I discovered early on is, you know, if you're applying heat, yes, it's cast and it heats evenly, but there is a hot spot on the bottom. If you're setting it on coals,
yes,
there's a hot spot
well,
there, and you'll burn the meat.
Well, hold on. Then that tells me you put too many coals under it. You have to also tend it. So you have to have your mitts ready, pick it up, and throw a little more coals under it. You don't just put a great big pile of coals and walk away for 3 hours.
Because
that will happen.
Right.
So you just put a small amount of coals in. You put a small amount on top, remarkably small amount. It's amazing the heat transfer cast iron has.
Right.
So that might save you from burning. But you're right. And then the other thing is you got to hydrate it. So lots of onions are great.
Right.
Carrots are great.
Right.
They're like the Holy Trinity, celery, carrots, and onion.
Right.
Those are wonderful for venison. They impart a flavor that you can't replace.
And
peppers.
My point was, is if I wanted a little sear on it, I put the meat on the bottom, roll it two or three times, a minute or two on every side to get a sear on the outside, then put my vegetables in and put the meat back on top so I've got an airspace below the meat so that it's not right on that hot cast. And it turned out a lot better because the first time I did it, it burned. It was a roast. I didn't use venison. I used a beef roast. chuck, but it burned on the one side because you don't go in there and flip it over. At least I didn't at that time.
Right.
So it was just interesting to learn. And like you said, you know, it's an $8 chuck roast. It's not, wasn't the end of the world. I didn't ruin it.
Well,
it was just burned on one side.
So here's another thing you can do. If you just tuned in, you're listening to the Grilling Guys, and we're talking about Dutch ovens. Not the kind with a sleeping bag, but the kind you cook in.
Yeah.
You put your coals under it. You don't have to replenish those. You can just keep putting hot coals on top, and that might save the bottom of your pan. You might not be so prone to burning that
right.
protein that's in there.
But it's nice to have some of that stick on there, too, because you deglaze it with maybe a little wine or some beef broth or something at the end to make your gravy that's on your vegetables that are already in there. It's fantastic. It's a one-dish meal is what it is. So
yeah, and then, of course, you can always grill it on a great tripod or whatever. And if you have a tripod, you can actually turn it into a smoker by throwing that same Dutch oven over that protein on your tripod, putting it next to your fire, and letting that heat and smoke penetrate it like that.
Yeah.
So when it's a miracle machine.
When you say over it, what do you mean by that?
I mean, put your meat on the grate and flip that Dutch oven upside down.
Right.
Put it on top. It'll radiate the heat. It is the lid.
Yeah, right. It is the lid. The bottom of the Dutch oven is the lid.
And it'll trap the smoke in there, and it serves like a little bit of a smoker.
Kind of cool. Right. Really cool. All right. Well, coming up next, we got a guy named T. Gidd. You've heard of him before. He's our Raging Cajun. He's going to join us. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hey, this is Job from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about my favorite butcher shop. It's Sobey Meats on the northwest side of Grand Rapids on Remembrance Road. This is a custom butcher. They'll cut any piece of meat that you want, any size, any way that you can dream of to make sure that your grilling experience is perfect. Sobey Meats smokes all their own meats. They've got kielbasas and over 40 different flavors of brats. You've got to try Sobey Meats on Remembrance Road. Tell them the Grilling Guys sent you.
Hey, when's the last time you had a really great root beer float? I mean the kind that makes you remember walks with your grandfather. Come on over to Schmoe's Brewing Company in Grand Rapids or Petoskey, and we have some handcrafted root beer, probably the best in the state of Michigan. That's 2600 Patterson in Grand Rapids or 109 West Mitchell in Petoskey. You know you're dying for a good root beer float.
And now, back to the Grillin' Guys Show.
Welcome back. You listen to Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network.
Very
First
good.
Time I said it today, wow. Last time I'm going to say it today. Anyway, Bob, we've got one of the board of directors on the Grillin' line right now. Take it away, baby.
Yeah, on the Grillin' line right now, we've got from Lafayette, Louisiana, Mr. T. Gidd. How are you, brother?
Hey, bonsoir, y'all. How y'all been?
The Big Sexy.
Yeah, it's been a while since we talked
the
to you.
It has. I was thinking y'all didn't love me no more. Oh. You might have found a new board member or something.
No.
I don't know.
No. You're the one and the only, baby. Come on now.
Well,
you know that.
There's two left. Rest in peace. God taking care of Rob Russell, but we still got you and Big Paulie.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm glad and I'm very honored to be on your show and to be a board of director.
Now,
it is the highest honor.
If you've not listened before and never heard T. Gidd, we go way back from the smoker days when I was repping for a certain manufacturer and how I met Rob Russell. But you also have a television show called Grilling with the Gurus. And people can follow you on the YouTube.
Well, it's not on YouTube, actually, but you can watch all our shows on Facebook. If you search Grilling with the Guru, Keith and Gidry and Kirk Guillory, you can find all our episodes posted on our Facebook site. It's a proprietary thing that the TV station doesn't want to post it through YouTube. But you can watch them on our Facebook site. And you're going to find some interesting stuff.
You're going to laugh really hard, too. You're going to laugh really hard.
We're going to have a good time. There's no doubt about that.
Well, it's kind of like what we're doing as well. You know, it's like nobody wants to pay us to do this much, but we just have a good time. And therefore, you just keep doing it.
And some more of his bona fides. This man is actually hunted with the Duck Dynasty folks who are his neighbors. And I've got the proof.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some good people right there, man.
Oh, yeah, they are.
the Robertson family is definitely salt of the earth. We need them. So, I'm thinking some guys are shooting some duck right now, and maybe they're tired of the way that their mom used to make it for them, or the way their wife's making it because they don't know how. And I want to, the tea kid to give them some good Cajun duck.
Well, I tell you, there's a couple of different recipes I like using, following whenever I cook duck, whether it's wild or Muscovy or whatever. But one is, you know, the bacon wrap marinated, you know, teal breast or duck breast. You marinate it in like a Thousand Island dressing mix overnight in the refrigerator, which kind of pickles it, you know. So it kind of almost pre-cooks the meat because of the vinegar and the acid in the concoction. And but you marinate it overnight, and if it's a larger breast like a mallard or a pintail or something like that, you can actually cut them in half. You want them the size of a teal breast, so I don't know portion wise how many pounds or ounces that is, but basically you want to have it in a manageable size, and you want to marinate it overnight. Then you take some. I like using applewood smoked bacon, but if you can't find applewood smoked bacon, you can use maplewood smoked bacon or hickory, whatever you got. Wrap it up real tight, toothpick it, and then set your coals on your grill to like a medium setting, and then just place it right directly over the grill coals. And people have asked me, well, how do you know when the duck is cooked and it's edible? And my common comeback is when the bacon's done, the duck is done.
Absolutely.
And when the bacon's done, and I don't mean done to where it's like if you pinched it between your fingers, it turns into like a crust. You know, I like my bacon kind of, you know, more on a rubbery type of, you know,
chewy.
Cooked type. Yeah. But when the bacon's done and you cut into that breast, it's going to be a beautiful, kind of like a rare, medium rare type of doneness. But again, keep in mind that you had that pickled overnight in a vinegar-based marinade. So you could probably take it out the refrigerator, cut it, and eat it right there. But, you know, you cook the bacon, and I'm telling you, it's like eating a filet mignon. It is unbelievable. It has no wild taste to it whatsoever. I've had people that swore they would never eat a wild duck, and when they tasted it, they thought they were eating like a piece of filet mignon that was wrapped in bacon.
Yeah.
So there's your reason for cutting the big breast in half, because you want that protein to be small enough that it'll cook through with the speed of the bacon.
Exactly. And you get more seasoning, you know, around it. You know, I didn't talk about that. Besides the marinade, you want to season it before you wrap it in the bacon and maybe dust it a little bit on top of the bacon. And then the second way that I like cooking, and I learned this from a restaurateur here in Lafayette, Louisiana, it's called a honey-glazed baked duck. And the best way to do it is you get your duck, you don't marinate it, and you season it to flavor, and you put your cast iron skillet over a hot grill, and you get it really hot like you're getting ready to blast a ribeye, you know. And you put a little bit of olive oil in the bottom of the skillet. You pan-sear the breast for about 5 minutes on each side. You can rotate it a little bit more frequently so you don't burn it. But, you know, you want to cook it about 5 minutes on each side, equivalent of around 10 minutes total. And at the tail end, you want to lower your coals and then take you some honey and drizzle it over the duck breast. You can even use like a nice cane syrup if you want, but I like the honey. And then you just kind of slowly finish cooking it to the doneness. And I like getting it up to about probably 125, 130, and then take it off. And I'm telling you, the sweet with the seasoning and the heat and the tenderness of that duck breast is indescribable. It is unbelievable.
You probably get your hands on some Tupelo honey down there.
Well, you know, we got all kinds. You know, we got Bernard's and a bunch of local Cajun type honeys down here, and I've always been told you want to eat your local honey, because if you have allergies, I don't know if this might be some bull I'm throwing, but if you have allergies, the pollen and everything that's used in the local making of honey kind of builds up an immune system because you're taking it in indirectly.
Neat.
You believe that?
Makes sense.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's just what I've heard, you know.
Yeah, why not?
So,
makes sense.
Why not? Yeah, you know. And then if you have the partaking kind, you could actually get some.
Did we lose you, Keith?
put a little shot of whiskey in that skillet with it, and or you can drink it, or you can do both.
So you might also know the Guidry family because they own the Percy Guidry Company, and that's the maker of the Cajun Grill, and they have a new version, the Stainless Pro, the Cajun Pro, and that, how do you spell Pro? Mm-hmm.
P-R-E-A-U-X.
Yeah, there you go.
You spell it the right way.
Good Cajun spelling. And I have the old school Cajun on my over in my solid fuel cook area in the back, because I separate the gas and the wannabes from the solid real stuff.
Yeah, I've seen your patio, and if you looked at mine right now, I got a gas grill, and I got our new, we got the Pro model, but we also got now got the smoker, the combo grill, and that's spelled C-O-M-B-A-U-X, and then I got the old trusty little Cajun over there, so I got my little arsenal. People say, you know, man, it must be nice being in the grill business. I'm like, dude, you're a mechanic. You probably never pay for a mechanic to do any work on your car. He said, yeah, but I'm doing the work.
Right. Yeah.
So did you?
Yeah, well, let me know. Every job has its perks.
Are you still? Did you move? Do you have a new deck now?
Well, you know, it's in progress. We did move, and we have a beautiful patio, but it's not. It's not really what I would like to see as a finished product as I hit my early part of my retirement life. So we got some improvements, and I can't wait to show you as we go down that road. Yeah. And we've got some work going on at the lake house, which I know I need to get you down to Toledo Bend so we can catch some big old bass and throw that on the Cajun.
Yeah.
So we got a lot of irons in the fire there, Barbecue Bob and John.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, we do. And but we'll pull some out and make them work here one of these days, you know.
Life's, that's right, bro.
Life's good, and we'll get down. And we'll you know, bend an elbow and share some stories.
You know, like they got a little election thing going on here, you know.
Don't get him started.
Well, I don't want to get you started, but I'd like to just kind of get you thinking. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But hey, regardless, we got to cook. We got to eat.
That's right. That's right.
And everybody does need to get out and vote. And you know what? That's your civic duty and your responsibility. And you just got to get out and place your vote.
I
voted 5 times already. I'm thinking about doing a few more times before it's all over with.
My great grandpa's going to vote.
You doing that by mail?
Yeah.
I'm doing it any way I can, bro.
I'll just say this. When you're voting, just keep in mind that we really only have one enemy on this earth, and that's China. They're taking our jobs. And we got to keep somebody in place that'll keep them in check.
Right.
That's right.
And not be on their payroll. So, but anyway, about that. Anyway, hey, T-Gid, we appreciate you tuning in with us, man. I know you're a busy dude, but it's fun.
We love y'all so much. And I tell you, it's so refreshing to know that you guys are out there leading the charge. And y'all doing such a great job educating the public, because they know as well as I do that there's a starving population out there that just is wanting information, and y'all out there giving them the good stuff. So God bless y'all.
You too.
Likewise.
Thanks, brother. All right, that's Keith.
All right, talk to y'all soon.
All right. Love you, man. That is
au revoir.
T-Gid from Lafayette, Louisiana.
Coming up next, we're going to wild turkey. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Shasta with Old World Olive Company. I want to personally invite you to visit one of our tasting rooms and sample any one of our certified extra virgin olive oils or aged balsamic vinegars. My knowledgeable staff can show you hundreds of pairing combinations. We also offer seasonings, tapenades, and specialty wines to complete your meal. So please, step into my kitchen and make a lasting memory of your own. Or you can visit us at theoldworldoliveco.com.
I am a guy, and I like fire.
The Grillin' Guys.
Welcome back. You are listening to The Grillin' Guys. We appreciate you tuning in each and every weekend. Hey, T-Gid, man, he's one of our board of directors. You got to love the Raging Cajun. He's always just a hoot to talk to. But Barbecue Bob, we were going to talk a little bit about wild turkey. Now, I'm going to preface this with I have never cooked one because I have never shot one. I've only attempted 3 or 4 times, and I was unsuccessful. Probably a lot of guys are laughing because there's so many of them around, they're almost impossible to not get. But I know they can't smell me, so I must be moving too much. What's your thoughts on that, man?
I don't have any thoughts on that.
No?
I'm still thinking about that Cajun duck.
Oh, well, we can talk about that too. But if you got a wild turkey, generally, once again, you're a lot of guys that I've been told that I know just breast the thing out. They don't really want to eat anything other than the breast. But once again, it's skinned, it's wild poultry, it's going to be lean, just like the pheasant that we talked about.
There's opinions all over the place on how guys do those. I would like to just try deep frying a whole one sometime.
Mm-hmm.
Because it works so great on a domestic turkey.
So you got to pluck it, though, then, right?
I know. And the thing is, the legs are tough as heck because they run around all day.
Right. Yeah, the domestic ones are.
I guess that's why they breast them.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
The meat's not as white either. You got to get used to seeing kind of a little bit darker meat on your breast meat. Mm-hmm. But it's so good. I think doing the bacon wrap on those and smoking them is still one of my favorites. And let's say maybe you don't turkey hunt.
Right.
Because that's a majority of people.
Right.
You can still go to the supermarkets and get some of those Jennie-O turkey breasts.
Well, yeah.
And you can put some nice Cajun rub or whatever your favorite apple rub, anything you like. You can make up your own little salt and pepper rub and sugar and then throw that in a smoker and bring that up to about $1.60, $1.62.
Right.
And pull it, wrap it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you, a domestic turkey breast off a smoker, you let it set a half hour, you wrap it, bring it to about 162 and wrap it, and just set it on the counter and let it rest and let those fluids find their way back to where they belong.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, my gosh, that is so good.
Right.
I mean, right off the smoker.
Yeah.
Man.
Really good.
I mean, especially if you're like most of us, eating out a bunch or whatever and eating somebody else's, however they overcooked it.
Mm-hmm.
It's so nice to have one perfectly done.
Right.
But I love turkey breast and chicken breast on a smoker.
Right. Well, let me talk a little bit about a pheasant. Okay. I have bird dogs, had them all my life. I don't now. I've got a lap dog. My buddies call it a burr magnet because it's a labradoodle. And if it ever got in the woods, it'd just be a ball of burrs. But anyway, I used to do a lot of pheasant hunting, and we had a similar situation with them, is that the breast meat and a little bit of the thigh is usually good on a pheasant because you're usually shooting the younger ones. They don't get real old, you know. But anyway, what I've done with pheasants, and this is on thegrillingguys.com, is a brined and smoked bacon-wrapped pheasant. So we talked about wrapping them in bacon. I wrap the whole bird in bacon, but I think the important part of this right now is the brine. And brine is a solution that imparts moisture into the meat of the bird. So what you want to do, and this recipe, I'm going to tell you right up front, is for 10 birds. It's not, so a pheasant is pretty small. A guy can eat an entire pheasant breast himself, right? And most of the time, the season just opened October 20th, last week. And there are farms in Michigan where you can still go get birds, but they're few and far between. Most guys go out to hunting preserves and have the birds put out in the morning, and then you come in later and hunt them with your dogs and clean up and so on. It's a lot of fun, but you know that's you want to do something with these birds. So let's talk about a brine. A brine for these 10 birds. It's going to be a big batch. You could do the math and cut it down, but you're going to want to do half a dozen of them anyway if you got them. 10 birds. I got 2 gallons of unsweetened apple juice. I've got 3 cups of kosher salt. A cup of brown sugar, and then a tablespoon of black pepper. Now, what I'm going to do is take one of those 2 gallons of that apple juice, all the salt, all the brown sugar, and the black pepper, and bring it to a boil, okay, to break down the salt and the sugar and get it into solution form, okay? So you bring that to a boil, and then I take it off, and I pour the other gallon of apple juice, which is cold, in there. Because what I want to do is I want to bring that brine temperature back down to about 40 degrees before I put my birds in it.
So you might make this up in advance and just throw the whole thing in the fridge.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And so that brine, and that'll keep, as long as you don't have the birds in it, that stuff will keep a few days. The brine will. But when you get it back down to cool, it's time to put the birds in the brine. And I'm going to do a 12-hour brine. And with 10 birds, what I do is I take a dry cooler, I line it with a garbage bag. Make sure that you use a garbage bag that doesn't have some like Febreze scent on it or something like that. You don't want just a plain trash, 13-gallon trash bag, you know, the white ones you use in your trash can.
Or maybe a food grade bucket.
Yeah, yeah, either one. But what you want to do, the idea is to put the birds in there and get them submerged in the brine.
So are these breasted?
No, these are the whole bird.
I might be more inclined then to go with a bucket because
sharp
if you use a bag,
yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, yep,
it is full of little prickly bones.
Right. So good idea if you've got a clean bucket. And so fill that thing. And then what I do is put a bag of ice in with it as well because I want these things to brine at a cold temperature, even if I got it out of the fridge. So in about the 11th hour of this brine, fire up your smoker. And I'm going to bring this thing to 250 degrees, get it right where I want it. Take them out of the brine, let them dry, and for 15, 20 minutes.
And how long are you brining?
12 hours.
Okay.
Is what I'm going to do. Take them out and let them dry. Wrap them in the bacon, and you're not going to move these in the smoker. So you can lay the bacon over top and have the bottoms touch as close as they can under the bird,
right?
Because
I roast
them back down, breast up, right, and wrap that bacon around there, and then just let them smoke. And again, you're taking these to 165 degrees, depending on the weather when you're smoking these things. If it's cold, it's going to take longer. I usually take my remote thermometer and stick it in the breast of one of the birds and just monitor it till I hit that 162, 165 degrees. And then pull them off.
So why do you bring them up that high?
Just because I want that bacon to get done. And I don't want any, you know, like anything else, you don't want anything.
But it's wild.
Well, I understand. But I don't want any red blood anywhere in there when you cut it away. And so that's just my temperature. You could probably do it a little lighter if you wanted to. But with the bacon, you're not really too worried about drying them out. Because it's going to seal all that in there. But, oh, one thing I did forget, too, is you needed two of your most favorite beers. Because those things are going to smoke for at least a two-beer smoke, and you're going to want just a nice fall beer.
So let's say you're refrigerator challenged, and you're the average guy who just doesn't have a lot of refrigerator space because you got kids and all that, mother-in-law living with you. You can also use a cooler, and you can put your brine in an old cooler that you don't mind smelling like apple.
Right.
And throw all that mixture cold in there. And then take your garbage bag, put your bag of ice inside a garbage bag, throw that on top of it, and let that sit for 10, 15 hours in the garage. You don't, because you might not have the space in your refrigerator, but you want to keep it cold.
Yeah,
and coolers are great for that.
They are. Coolers keep stuff warm better than they do cold in most cases, and we've talked about that in the past.
Depends on where you're at.
Right. But that recipe, I know you didn't need to write that down in the dust on your dash. It's on thegrillingguys.com. You search recipes for brined and smoked pheasant, and you will find that in there. Give it a try. And if you do, shoot us a note on Facebook and let us know how it went.
Yeah, and give us a like, too. Grilling Guys/TheGrillingGuys.
All right, coming up next, we're going to bring this train to the station with a little man-law and a really good pork chop. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Fenn Valley Vineyards. Located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fennville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family has been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine, Fenn Valley Vineyards.
Hey, this is Job from The Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about my favorite butcher shop. It's Sobey Meats on the northwest side of Grand Rapids on Remembrance Road. This is a custom butcher. They'll cut any piece of meat that you want, any size, any way that you can dream of to make sure that your grilling experience is perfect. Sobey Meats smokes all their own meats. They've got kielbasas and over 40 different flavors of brats. You've got to try Sobey Meats on Remembrance Road. Tell them The Grilling Guys sent you.
Hey, it's Barbecue Bob. My wife and I recently built a new addition to our home and remade the kitchen. We went to Garrett's and picked out all of our products so that everything would fit in his space well. The selection was from best price to best quality, and the service was great. The delivery team was courteous and careful. Go to Garrett's Appliance. While you're there, check out the huge selection of top brands of grills and smokers from North America. Garrett's Appliance, where families serve families. Garrett'sAppliance.com.
You are now a man, you're a man.
Today's man law. This one's a little bit out of the ordinary. It's one I pull out every year about this time of year, but it's things every man should have in his car. And we've changed this so that it's things every man should make sure his wife has in her car. And one of the things is paper maps. You don't always have a signal. Your phone might die. You might have left it at home. You might be in the ditch. It might be a blizzard. A paper map always works.
Right.
You can boot it up.
I'm not sure that Lisa'd know how to use one, but I've not had that discussion with her. Maybe
you
she
said
can.
It. Right. Also, some snacks. Throw in some good proteins like some cashews or peanuts or something like that. Cell phone charger, extra battery, seatbelt cutter, flashlight, and there's lots of cool flashlights on the market. It's good to always have some water and keep that in your car. First aid kit, warm blankets, small fire extinguisher. How many of you carry a small fire extinguisher?
Bob's selling motorhomes now. I guess you're going to have to buy one to carry
They come with fire extinguishers. portable air compressor. There's some cool little 12-volt air compressors
right, and
that you can plug into your lighter. That might just save you. Right. Windshield wiper fluid. If it's the winter, get the really sub-zero stuff. Roadside flares, jumper cables, and a tow strap. Now, here's the trick. If it's a tow strap, you got to be careful with today's modern cars because there's a lot of plastic up front, and
right, they
just don't make them like they used
right,
to.
Right, you hook onto something solid metal underneath, it'll rip the plastic off
or
when
your
you tighten
steering.
The strap, right?
Yeah. And then additional items for the winter, shovel.
Where are you putting all this in a car, man?
Snow shovel, kitty litter, and we always carry candles, a couple of big fat candles, because they'll keep you alive.
Really?
Yeah.
The warmth?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Ice scraper, hat and gloves. Have a nice little bag in your trunk.
That's a box
all this stuff
with all
in
that
it.
Stuff, but I get it.
It's. I don't carry kitty litter, because our cats go on the volleyball court.
Makes for interesting feeling between your toes. So I'm just going to say.
I don't know if you've ever even played volleyball.
That's because I know where your cats are.
Dude, they all go in the same spot, too. I always play on the other end. best pork chops on a budget. This is a little trick I learned years ago. It just popped into my big fat head because I'm always buying those cheap pork loins when they're 99 cents a pound. And I got to where I was doing a lot of brisket and stuff and always taking a jacquard to something. So I cut my pork chop loin off that. I cut the loins into chops about an inch and a half thick. And I took a jacquard to it and I just pulverized it, beat the ever-loving snot out of it with EVO on it. And then I flipped it over, put EVO on, pounded it again.
No seasoning? Just
season
the
it at the end, put okay. a little salt and pepper on the end, and you throw them on the grill. And it looks like a... looks like roadkill when you put it on, but by the time you're done grilling it, it's come right back to shape, and it's just a beautiful pork chop. Bring it up to 145 max, and that thing, you can cut it with a fork, and you paid 99 cents a pound. It'll be the best pork chop you ever made your wife.
Ooh, that sounds good. And with or without barbecue sauce at the end, I'm a without guy.
Yeah.
I don't put a lot of barbecue sauce on pork chops, maybe ribs, and
do
that's
like
about
I'm
it.
On my ribs.
Yeah. Yep, me too. I'm a sweeter rather than hotter guy, but that's the way I've been called all my life, right? But anyway, well, hey, you've been listening to this nonsense called The Grilling Guys. We appreciate you tuning in each and every week. If you're a deer hunter, get up and out of your tree in a safe manner, and we wish you the best to shoot a big one.
Yeah.
And we'll talk with you next week.
Make sure you wear a harness.
Yeah, exactly.
See you.